consciousness roared back over him like waves against the white rocks of his mother's south coast home. He lurched upright, flailed, managed by some miracle to throw his cape back over his shoulder and grappled for his sword. It wasn't there. Neither was his sword belt. He abruptly remembered hanging his sword on his saddle, which was with his horse, which was gone. The nappy git had run like a bunny from that stag. Of course it had been the biggest stag he'd ever seen. And it wasn't his horse, actually. It was his brother Otho's horse. And no matter that brother's liking for him, Otho was going to kick his arse for letting the stallion get away. Of course his head already felt like his arse would when he got back home. He gave up on grabbing the absent sword for protection. Instead clutched his hands to his head and gave a sound that sounded distinctly like a mule. "Buck up, Gamelin," he told himself. "If you're about to be supper for a wolf, you can at least go down like a man." Gritting his teeth, he clenched his fists, opened his eyes again, and looked. It wasn't a wolf. It was a lad, about his own age, shaking a worn leathern hood back from a frowning face. That frown was a mighty one, dark brows drawn together over the blackest eyes Gamelin had ever seen, with an even blacker forelock nearly obscuring them. The lad didn't say anything, hadn't moved, just kept peering at Gamelin. And for a panicked second, Gamelin wondered if all those tales the old women told about the kitchen fires were true, if the forest here really was inhabited, not by mortal men, but ghosts and demons, who shifted their bodies to whatever shape they pleased. After all, the lad still wasn't moving. Gamelin wasn't sure that he was breathing. If it came to it, and in the half-lit forest gloom, his skin was white as the lead chalk some ladies used on their cheeks. "Did the fall addle your head or what?" Gamelin jumped as the demon wolf lad spoke, fell back against the tree and went sprawling sideways. "Bloody damn!" the wolf demon lad swore. Reaching forward, he grasped Gamelin by the tunic and hauled him upright. Purely by instinct, Gamelin grabbed the lad by his wrists, felt bones grind as he tried to fling him aside. Now there was no doubt but the lad was surely some ghost or demon in boy disguise. He didn't even flinch at Gamelin's hold, and Gamelin had been told more than once that he was quite strong for a lad whose voice hadn't even broken yet. The demon lad was surely of a height with Gamelin, but his wrists were slim in Gamelin's broad fingers, and his ragged tunic hung on a skinny, lanky frame. The lad, wolf or demon or ghost, Gamelin no longer knew what to think, gently but firmly extricated his wrists from what Gamelin had thought quite the grip, then just as easily pushed Gamelin down to a seated crouch against the massive roots of the oak, nostrils flaring as if at some scent. He cocked his head, not unlike a wolf. "I think you have addled yourself," he ventured very softly, and reached a hand to Gamelin's forehead. Pressure very light, but it stung like tens of bees.
"Oh, that hurts!"
"I'll wager it does." The lad, or whatever he was, brought his fingers back to his face, sniffed them, then shrugged. "I'm not my mum, I'm afraid. She does it all the time and can tell what it means by the smell of it." Smelling blood. He was a demon then, if his mother could tell if blood was fit just by the smell of it.